Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. It's good to be in your presence one more time, and it's certainly be good to be in the presence of the Lord one more time. We are coming to you tonight with joy. We're excited about the broadcast and the week that we've seen and the oncoming. It's coming at us hard. We're now deep into the fall season and headed into the holiday season. I greet you with Jesus' joy. Well, this evening, as always, we say, get your pen and pencil ready, and we offer you the contact information, which we are the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast, and I am the host, Gernard Reed. Contact information is email goteachandbaptize@gmail.com, goteachandbaptize @gmail.com. And the phone number associated with Jeremiah Speaks is 804-313-7853, and we did get some shout-outs yesterday, and we are always happy with the criticisms, always happy with the feedback, and always happy with the suggestions, and certainly we're happy with the pats on the back as well. We try to present a good broadcast here. We try to be diverse, that we can reach thousands and thousands of folk. We are with you from Monday through Friday at 7 p.m., and then on Sunday mornings with preaching at 8:30 a.m. I'd like to reach out on this evening and to give a shout-out. It's Pastor Appreciation Month, but certainly I give a shout-out to my pastor, the Reverend Michael Reed Sr., who's been at the Clarksville Baptist Church for 23 years, Clarksville Baptist in Warsaw, Virginia. He's a fantastic leader. He's a leader whom we've taken upon. We trust him with the Word of God. We trust him with the vision from God. And we've taken upon us much of his insightfulness and wisdom. And certainly, we've had 23 wonderful years. We pray God's blessings and mercy upon him. And I challenge everyone listening to pray for your pastor every day. We ask you to really turn it up a notch during Pastor Appreciation Month, which is October. I know nobody should have to tell us or remind us to do things, but we know who we are. So happy Pastors Appreciation Month to all the pastors out there. And then we go this evening to the Word of God. The Word of God comes to us, Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter, the book of Jeremiah, Old Testament book of Jeremiah, one of the major prophets, the 32nd chapter, verses 9 and 10, and then in verses 37 through 40. So six verses tonight. Jeremiah 32:9. And so I'll go to Jeremiah 32:9 without any further ado. Jeremiah writes, excuse me, and I bought the field of Hanamiel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witness and weighed him the money in the balances. And then he skips over to 37th verse, Jeremiah writes, behold, I will gather them out of all the countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath, and I will bring them again into this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. This is the word of God for the people of God, even so saith the Spirit. And I want to use for a text and a subject on this evening simply, who's going to buy the field? Who's going to buy the field? Let us bow our head for a word of prayer. All wise, eternal God, and our righteous King, Lord, we come before you on this beautiful and wonderful Friday evening, thanking you for another day's journey and a walk, and another opportunity to call upon you for a few words in prayer, another opportunity to preach your word. Father, I pray that whoever's listening this evening, that you will bless us to have open ears, bless us to receive the word of God, for you said that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Speak, O Lord, to the church, that we may hear the word of the Lord. Then bless this preacher, Father. I'll turn him upside down, shake out all the impurities in the preacher, then turn him back right side up, fill him with the filling of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, and seal him with the seal of the Holy Spirit, that he may preach the gospel and the word of God only. For we know that when the word of God is preached and goes out, that it will not return unto you void, but will accomplish wherewith it is sent. This we ask in the mighty, majestic, perfect, everlasting name of Jesus. Amen. So it's preaching time. Who's going to buy the field? Lord have mercy. Jeremiah speaks, presents to you who's going to buy the field. Over the course of time, through the ages, God has spoken to man in many ways. He spoke to Adam daily. He fellowshiped with Moses and shared stories with him. He spoke to the prophets in dreams and in visions. He sent angels to speak to Joseph and the shepherds. He constantly uses nature to proclaim his glory. He uses signs and wonders, and he delivers a fresh, relevant word to preachers. He allows the use of symbols, such as the sprinkling of oil and the laying on of hands. Our God uses imagery and symbolism to command the attention of and encourage his people. God used the prophet Jeremiah as a symbol. In Jeremiah 32, God is using the worn, weeping prophet Jeremiah to proclaim his name among the Jews. Jeremiah had committed his life to preaching an unpopular word of God to a stiff-necked and unfaithful generation of people who were supposed to be the children of God. Jeremiah preached and no one listened. Jeremiah prophesied and they told him to shut up. He told the truth, but no one wanted to hear it. He was the voice of reason in a sinful land, but no one listened. The kings imprisoned him, put him in the stocks, cast him into a pit for being negative. He wrote the Bible book of Lamentations, the book of the Bible from which you have never heard a sermon. That's Lamentations. Jeremiah was indeed the weeping prophet. In Jeremiah 20, the prophet confessed that preaching the word of the Lord had made him so unpopular that he decided not to mention God's name anymore. In fact, he cursed the very day he was born and vowed to preach no more in the name of the Lord. But then he testified that when he went silent, the word of God was like a fire shut up in his bones. And while he wanted to hold back, he just couldn't keep it to himself. Jeremiah was so unpopular because Jeremiah told it like it was. Jeremiah confronted the people's idol worship. They didn't see it as idol worship, however, but they saw it as harmless fun and curiosity. And I add, like Halloween. False prophets preached against Jeremiah and told the people what they wanted to hear. I kind of like modern day. Well, here in chapter 32, the nation of Judah is in trouble. The northern tribes of Israel have already been conquered by the Chaldeans, and now they're coming after Judah. Judah is in trouble. Jeremiah told them this day was coming, but they wouldn't listen. Judah and King Zedekiah are now ready to turn to the Lord. He had called the false prophets in the time of need and found them to be absolutely useless. Judah is in trouble. King Zedekiah sends for Jeremiah to convince the Lord to lead the Jews in victory over Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. Judah, I say, is in trouble. Their supplies have been cut off. The parties have ended. The idols have failed, and everyone is running scared. Jeremiah sends word to the king that not only will Judah be conquered, but Jerusalem will be ransacked and burned, and the people will be hauled away into slavery. Judah is in trouble, and Jeremiah bought a field.
Judah is in trouble. The enemy is about to conquer and take the land, and Jeremiah purchases a field. The Lord said that Jeremiah's cousin is selling land to make ends meet. The cousin comes to Jeremiah, who is locked up, and Jeremiah buys the field. Why did Jeremiah buy the field? Land values had plummeted by 200%. There was war in the land. Inflation was on the rise. Unemployment was sneaking back up. The banks had failed. The national debt was almost $28 trillion. Businesses were going belly up. There was a $300 billion federal deficit. Stock market was not dependable and going crazy. Crime was on its way up. Groceries were ridiculous. Housing market was on its way down. Real estate was worthless. And Jeremiah bought a field. Why did Jeremiah buy the field? With an economy that was in the ditch. And the forecast for that economy was depression or recession. There was no bailout, and it wouldn't have worked anyhow. The last time they did a stimulus, it didn't work. But Jeremiah bought a field. Why did Jeremiah buy the field? Because God told him to buy the field. You know, sometimes that's enough. Sometimes it's enough. If God said so, that's enough. Sometimes every logical thing points to not doing something, and then God steps in. I wish I had a witness here. Sometimes logistics point in a direction. Sometimes history points in a direction. Sometimes background points in a direction. Sometimes educated folk point in that direction. Sometimes the universities have declared it. The government have declared it. Sometimes even the church folk have declared it, but God said, go another way. I wish I had a witness in here. How many know God like they want to know God? How many understand God? And how many think we have a relationship with God like the psalmist who wrote the books in the Psalms had with God? But if anybody knows God, has studied God, and really thinks they know how God operates, you know that God is never going to send you what everybody else says. Sometimes there is a way that seems right to a man. But then God tells us that same way may lead to destruction. So we must look at God for our reasoning, must look at God for our direction, look at God for our vision, so to be able to see like God sees, because God told Jeremiah that in the midst of everything crumbling around you, go by the field. Jeremiah may have said in his heart, the field is worthless, and it will only be mine for a few weeks. Why would I spend this money on a field, money that I've saved and hard to come by, spend it on a field that is overpriced and probably won't even be mine very long? I don't know if I like Hananiel that much, God said, buy the field. God may say to some of us, now is the time for you to plant. Now is the time for you to sow. Now is the time for you to get on the field. Now is the time for you to get busy. You say, no, we're coming out of a pandemic. No, we're coming out of riotous times in our country. We're coming out of a time where I'm not even sure if my neighbor likes me or not. We're coming out of a time with increased racial disparities, divisions, and hatred. We're coming from a time where we can't even trust our government anymore. We come from a time where folk are corrupt right in front of our face. Folk lie right to us. Folk in high positions are not even capable of being trusted. Lord, this is not the time, but God says to us, go and buy the field. And what I mean when I say buy the field, I don't mean physically like Jeremiah did. Jeremiah literally bought a piece of property. He bought a piece of property to show the folk that God is still on the throne. He bought a piece of property to maintain his integrity before the people and remind them that I take my orders from God, not from the Babylonians, not from the Chaldeans, and not even from folk around here. It says in the word that there's a time coming where folk will have itchy ears, and folk will tell the preacher what we like to hear. And folk will react to the preacher when he says this and not react when he says the truth. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. But sometimes, it might be this time, it might be now, that sometimes folk don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what they like. And they want to hear like King Zedekiah, God told him. God sent Jeremiah, tell him again. He sent Jeremiah, tell him the truth again. The king had his own prophets. His own prophet said to him, O king, live forever. The Chaldeans have nothing here. There's nothing here that they want. They're going to take over everything else. They beat back the Assyrians, the greatest empire in the world. They beat them back. They backed off the Egyptians. We thought the Egyptians would come and help us out. They backed them off. But, O king, live forever. There's nothing in Jerusalem that they want. And so they're not coming to Jerusalem. They're not going to bother us. But Jeremiah said, oh, no, they're headed this way. They're not camped out there encircling us for no reason. They're coming this way. Jeremiah said, I got to tell the truth. But in spite of the fact that we are surrounded by our enemies, I'm going to buy a field. And why did he buy the field? Because God told him to buy the field. Why did Jeremiah buy the field? Because our country is going through some changes. The United States is going through some changes. We're not the only country going through some changes. Things have been so bad that Americans have begun to throw their hands up and allow folk that they never entrusted before to be president of the United States. Folk want change so bad that they're willing to vote for anybody at this point to see if somebody can bring some change from the top down. There's revelry and excitement over folk who have no plan. The court has been stacked to vote in a certain way on certain cases. But that which we've been taught about from children is now incredibly under attack for their own integrity. There are folks out there making excuses why this is this and why that is that. There are gas prices that are just running away. There's inflation that's going way up. There's an awful war over in the Ukraine. One-third of the United States believe that the last national election was stolen. And then there's the presidential drama. And then there's the Democrats. And then there's the Republicans. And then there's this. And then there's that. And then there's Fox News. And then there's MSNBC. And then there's CNN. And then there's on and on and on. And then there's tales of earthquakes all over the world. There's tales of tsunamis, and there are tales of global warming, and tales of hurricanes and violent storms and typhoons and all of this stuff we're being told on a regular basis. But God is stepping in the middle of that and telling somebody, I want you to purchase a field. I want you to step out and make a statement that may not be a welcome statement, may not be the most sensible statement, but I got your back. Isn't it a good thing to know that Jeremiah said in the 20th chapter, it's a good thing to know that God's got your back. And that if you're doing what God told you to do, you can't go wrong. If God told you to speak the truth, speak the truth. And God told Jeremiah, go by that field and show those folk. You see the field as worthless, but Jeremiah sees the field as a symbol of hope. I'll tell you one thing my country needs right now is a symbol of hope. Honesty has eroded, and corruption has set in. And I read something yesterday where a person in another country that we wouldn't have heard from a few years ago said, I wish the Americans would stop telling us what to do, because the next thing, our country will be a racial mess like the United States. That thing hurt me to my heart. When I, as an American, look and see the test scores from across the world, when I was growing up, they told me we were the greatest nation in the world. They indoctrinated me with that. I see test scores. I begin to see America coming in as low as 45th. When I see folk calling us rich Americans and dumb rich Americans, and I see that we have running water it's not even considered a luxury here. We have purified and pure drinking water. We have so much pure water that we buy our water. We buy it in bottles and celebrate how sharp we are. We are a country that is filthy rich and doesn't know it. But then on the outside, it looks like we hate each other. Somebody needs to step up and purchase a field. Somebody needs to step up and cross the line of races. Somebody needs to step up and speak out in the name of Jesus. Somebody needs to come outside of the church walls and buy some land in the community. Somebody needs to come down in the community and fellowship with the people sometime and not spend so much time, perhaps, inside the church walls. Somebody needs to do some volunteer work. Somebody needs to shout the name of Jesus. Somebody needs to stand up in their own workplace and say, you can't make me doubt him because I know too much about him. You can't make me doubt him in my heart. No, you can't make me doubt him because I'm talking about Jesus. You can't make me doubt him because I know too much about him. Somebody ought to stand up and purchase a field. That's where Jeremiah was. Jeremiah stepped out on faith. And then we cross over and we get to that 37th verse. And in the 37th verse, Jeremiah has now come to tell us what the Lord has said. The Lord said, behold, I will gather them out of all the country where I have driven them in my anger and in my fury and in my great wrath. And I will bring them again into this place, talking about Jerusalem and Judah, and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them one heart, one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. God closes this out, chapter 32, with a promise. Made a promise, not just to Jeremiah, but he said, Jeremiah, the people have been wicked. The people have been wrong. The people have turned away from me. People have chased after idols. The people have become selfish. The people have become covetous. But those same people who will be hauled off, their children will come back here, and I will restore them. We know about restoration today is that it's a little simpler than that. We're not really fearful of somebody coming in and taking us out of our house and carrying us away. We're fearful of what sin will do. Sin will set in, and it will take us captive in our own homes. Sin will set in and make us think wrong is right and right is suddenly wrong and the truth is not to be heard. Sin will make us in a circumstance, in a situation where somebody has to step up and say, no, I'm staying with the Lord. No, I'm going through with the Lord. No, I'm planting over here. Yes, I'm buying a field over here. Yes, I know my Lord for myself. He's been so good to me. And even though I've done some things wrong, yet will I trust him. I trust that he will forgive me of my sins. I trust that he will accept my repentance and forgive me. I trust in God's grace and mercy. It doesn't matter how bad I've been. It's all about the goodness of Jesus. And I'm ready to turn for him. And to do so, I'm going to buy a field in my community. To do so, I'm going to invest in my community by telling somebody how good God is. But not just telling them with lip service, but standing on the rock of the promises of Christ Jesus by investing in the people of God, investing in the places of God, investing in my community and proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord, proclaiming that now is the time to turn back to God. Now is the time to tell my neighbor I love you because God loves you first, to tell my enemies that I must love you, bring water to my enemies, love them so much that they can't stand it anymore. I need to make sure that my family is all saved. I want to go and witness to everybody in my family. I want to be the one to buy the field from my cousin who is hopeless. I want to remind folks that Jesus came and died that we might live. I want to tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. I don't want to buy the field. Maybe there's somebody listening tonight that catches what I'm saying here, that has caught the nifty way of saying that we need to stand up. And somebody in every household needs to stand up and lead that household. Somebody in every church needs to stand up. It's more than good preaching. Lord have mercy, and I love good preaching, but it's more than good preaching. It's more than getting a good feeling when you go to church. It's more than getting a good feeling when you go to church. How about we take that feeling, come out of the church, and make a difference somewhere, make a difference in somebody's lives. Jeremiah was in prison when he bought the field. Jeremiah knew what was going on in the outside. Follow the word of God. He followed the instruction of God. He said, the people need hope. This one This one gesture will show hope to the people from the man of God. Remember who Jeremiah was. Jeremiah was a prophet. And the unique thing about Jeremiah was they knew he was a prophet. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. They even threw him in a pit for his preaching, but they knew he was a prophet. And the king, when all else failed, called for Jeremiah. What does the Lord have to say? So on this evening, I'm saying, regardless of what people call you, regardless of what they say about you, which they won't say much about you, when you step up and buy the field, when you step up and buy the field and sow into the people of God, don't discount this next generation. Don't talk bad about this next generation, but talk about the love that God must have for this generation, and we ought to love him too. I close out this evening by talking about Jesus on his way into Jerusalem for the last time. Jesus was about to make his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and he knew. He had a good idea of what was going on. He knew there were crowds awaiting his arrival. He said to two of his disciples, I want you to go over and into a city that's over and against you. And I want you to find a colt tied up with his mother. I want you to loose that colt and bring him to me. If anybody asks you why I loose you the colt, you tell them that the Lord hath need of him. Or I wish everybody would say amen. I didn't say that right. I didn't say it loud enough every day. Let me say it again. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He called two disciples to him, and he said, disciples, I want you to go over into a village where the people don't look like you. I want you to go into that village, and you're going to find a colt tied up with his mother. I want you to loose the colt and bring the colt to me. If anybody say anything to you, you say to them that the Lord hath need of him and bring him to me. That didn't work either. That didn't work. Jesus is saying to us today, he's saying to his disciples, I want you to go over into a city that if people don't look like you, not only do they not look like you, they don't even like you. But I want you to go over there with your integrity and character. I want you to go and find a young man tied up with his mother, still living with his mother, can't take care of himself, doesn't have a job, or gets up in the morning about 11 o'clock, come down the steps of the house with a great big old chain around his neck, pants down halfway down his hips, and think he's a man, and tied up in the drug market. He's tied up in the child protective services. He's tied up in child support. He's tied up in the racket out there. But I want you to loose him from his stuff. Loose him from his bonds and bring him to me. And if the drug dealer says to you, hey, why are you messing with him? If the baby mama say to you, why are you messing with him? Even if the police say to you, why are you messing with you? You buying the field now. You say to them, the Lord hath need of him. Let me say it one more time, because this here works. It works. Jesus said, go into a place where two ways meet. I'm thinking he's talking about the bad way and the good way. And I said, I want you to go over into a place where two ways meet. I want you to go where the people over there are against you. They don't look like you. They don't favor you. They don't want you over there. But there is a man, a young man, who's lost and tied up with his mama. Don't bring his mama. Get him. Loose him and set him free. Tell him he's a man. God sees the man in you. God sees that you are a real man, a rooster. Stand up to be counted by the Lord. I'm going to loose you from your problems. I'm going to show you how to pray. Then I'm going to pray for you. Take him by the hand if you have to. And if anybody says anything to you, you say to them, the Lord hath need of him. I wish somebody listening this evening would say, the Lord hath need of him. God has given us a mission. God has given us a statement that will free us from anybody holding us up. The Lord hath need of him. And that's why Jeremiah bought the field. This has been Jeremiah Speaks Broadcast. I am Gerdard Reed. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 8:30. May God bless and keep you. Stay tuned for the Fivefold Ministry.
bless you and good evening. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. We would like you to sit back and relax and let us go in and worship the Lord. You know, I was thinking about on a Friday night how I used to go to different services with my mom, with my godmother, and I thank God for Reverend Reed and Jeremiah Speak, because truly that is the Baptist way, good solid foundation, good preaching and teaching of the word. I would encourage you to listen to them each week, Monday through Fridays, from 7 o'clock p.m. to 7:30 p.m., and again on Sundays from 8:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock. God bless you. And then, since I've been on the air, I realize I've been on the air now for 3 years, and I'm so grateful to Archbishop and My King Service Radio Broadcast. Truly, it's a blessing to be of service to the Lord and to you, our listeners. I like to play a lot of apostolic music with praise and worship, because truly it is nothing better than to glorify God. And I thought about this evening again, and I said, you know, I have yet to really, you know, dab into music of Pentecostal. And my godmother, she was Pentecostal Jerusalem Church of God in Christ, and they have really blessed me to learn how to worship God and spirituality and to worship him in praise. So let us have a Pentecost nice music service this evening where we can sit back and worship God. Again, you're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast, and God bless you. Amen. I like to salute my godmother. I remember those times being in Pentecost, Jerusalem. We would have those tambourines and drums. We would have service all night. Sometimes the service would go on for 3 hours just praising God, just worshiping God, just having a good time in the Lord. The music is so upbeat and so the temple is so fast. I really enjoyed it. There's a different flavor when you hear Baptist traditional music. It really takes you into the intercourse, and then apostolic shows you how to go behind the veil in the apostolic, just the praise and worship. But Pentecostal will have you on the floor shouting, worshiping God like David, that your clothes will fall off. Just glorify him. Let us listen a little bit more to Pentecostal praise and worship this evening. Amen. Light bill too, and God is going to work it out, that you don't have to worry, that the Lord will provide. That's one thing about Pentecostal, that they love praising God. There is nothing too hard for the Father. And I love songs by I think it's Corey Mickle. Oh my God, he is such a beautiful psalmist, And as we listen to some of his music, we thank God for that. And we want to just get into a little bit more of Pentecost worship music. Again, you're listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. God bless you and be blessed. Amen. Yes. When you can just praise God and have a shouting good time. That's what I love so much about the Pentecostal church. We would just go in with our tambourines. We was ready to praise God and to worship him. You know, we see people take off their shoes and they be so happy. They run around the church. They think about how God has blessed them and brought them from a mighty long way. Again, you're listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. We also like to encourage you to listen to us again on Sunday mornings from 9 o'clock a.m. to 10 o'clock a.m. And this is our disclaimer. As I say each night, that the music belongs to the artist. We are here to promote those sounds, to worship the Lord, to glorify him. and the music belongs to the artist. But we are here just to encourage you, to motivate you, and to inspire you to get those CDs as you reverence God. Let us continue to listen to a song that's written by Corey Mickle, and you're listening to the guitar lead of Praise and Worship in a Pentecostal Church. Amen. I remember those times. I used to go down my godmother's church, and all the ladies would be there, including my grandmother, and they would just have a ball. You know, the artist that wrote that particular tune is called Victory. It's by Corey Mickle, and you can hear it on his album called Church. That's it. I'll say it again. The album is called Church. It's by Corey Mickle. And truly, we love to worship God. If you ever want that Pentecostal flavor as well as all of the good old harmony where they run up the aisles and just shout, and they love to praise God. You know, sometimes they would get on the guitar, they get on the drums, and it just be like a solo sound by itself. They just be playing a set of music that everybody just enjoy the worship, bring out the tambourine, just glorify God. As people say, they have no shame. They just love to praise and glorify him. When you can get to the place, when you can accept God, when you can accept all his children, all denominations, all genders, when you can love and see the good in everything that people are trying to do to glorify him, you can discern the spirit, you can line it up with the word, and you know that if it is to glorify the Father, you can just say amen. I enjoyed my upbringing. I was able to fellowship at Catholic churches, Jehovah Witness. I was able to go, like I said, to Apostolic, Baptist churches, and Pentecostal, and we had a good time. Let us sit back again, and we're going to listen to Corey Mickle. It's called Church. And God bless you. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. Amen.
Well, I don't know what we've been through. I'm letting you know right now, if my praise offends you, keep scrolling. This church on Friday, if this praise offends you, you can keep on scrolling. I ain't here for you to know that. How? If my praise offends you, there's another Facebook Live you can go join. Over here we pray. And I have a full understanding. I praise it because I have a relationship. I praise it because I trust God. You have no idea what the praise of. Wait, wait, wait. Some people don't know what you're being afflicted with right now. But I need a praise in here right now that's on the face of the dead.
Yes, the songwriter says, you don't know what the other person is going through when they praise the Lord. You know, this is so true that when we go to worship God, when we go to the house of the Lord, our mind should be stayed on him. Our mind should be there that we come to glorify him, whether it's Pentecostal, Apostolic, Baptist, Lutheran, that we are there to praise God. It's not by denomination, but it is by the word of God, the favor of God, everything that he has done for us, the creation of God, that we are so grateful to be in the land of the living. So many people have not made it this far. However, we have made it. So we should glorify him. That's one thing that I really loved about the Pentecostal Assembly Churches of God, that we just came in to worship God and have a good time. That when we finished up with our praise, we would all go out and eat together, and we couldn't wait till the next service started and hear the word. Truly, we was there to worship God. We was all on one accord. I would encourage you, when you go to your local assembly, go there with your mind stayed on Jesus. Go there to hear what the prophet, the pastor, go there to hear what God has given the speaker, what to say, how it can change your life, how it can make a difference in your worship. Put all of that other stuff away, all of that hindrance that will stop you from keeping your mind on God and to worship him. Again, you've been listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer, and tonight we just wanted to do a little Pentecostal worship. And again, let us listen to Corey Mickle and the album called Church. Amen. The attitude that you are going to make it. You have to keep that attitude to be joyful. It says that you should always love the Lord, give him his praise. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Yes, he is. And get to a point in your life that you're going to praise him regardless what it looks like, regardless what it seems like, you are going to praise the Lord. Again, we thank you so much for listening to us. And don't forget, Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock, we will be there to glorify him even more. God bless you. As we close out our broadcast, I'd like to just hear a little bit of Donnie McClurkin as he was praising God, and truly it was just beautiful to see another side of him. He's such a good psalmist, but this time he went into that that flavor of Pentecostal, and it was so beautiful. God bless you. Remember when you leave this place that you have the victory. Again, we thank you so much for listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. If you would like to email us, our email is ffmw.inc@verizon.net. Again, that's F like five, F like fold, M like ministry, W like worldwide.inc. INC at verizon.net. God bless you and have a nice evening.